From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
VOI listener, how are you today? It is nice to meet you again with me, Rahma, who will accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we present some information starting from news, diplomatic corner, and so forth. We will also play some songs. Now let's begin with news, so stay with us only on voinews.id, RRI Play Go mobile app, and shortwave frequency 3325 or 4750 kHz.
Here is the news first, the headlines. Food prices tends to decline ahead of Idul Fitri, says minister. Indonesian Elections Commission is to hold 2024 simultaneous local election. Hamas-run health ministry says Israeli army withdraws from Al-Shifa. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, now the news in details. Let's begin with the national news, where Indonesian Minister of Trade Zulkifli Hasan stated that prices of most staple foods tended to decline, especially in Java and Sumatra, ahead of the 2024 Idul Fitri. As reported by Antara News Agency, at the roll call for securing food supply and prices ahead of Idul Fitri conducted by the National Food Agency Bappanas on Monday, he remarked that according to the Indonesian Statistic Agency BPS, food prices tends to decline on the 21st day of Ramadan, which falls this Monday. Hasan noted that he visited markets in Java almost every morning and learned that the price trend had started to decline. According to the minister, this was due to current harvest season. Based on the Indonesian Ministry of Agriculture's data, this month's rice harvest volume reached 3.8 million tons, exceeding the national need of 2.5 million tons each month. In addition, the prices of other commodities such as chicken also decreased. He thanked several parties for their work, including the Indonesian Minister of Agriculture Andi Amran Sulaiman, head of the National Food Agency Arif Prasetyo Adi, and the Food Task Force of the Indonesian National Police. Indonesian General Elections Commission's KPU will hold the 2024 simultaneous gubernatorial elections in 37 or out of 38 provinces in Indonesia on November 27. As reported by Antara News Agency, Chairman of the Commission Hashim Ashari on Sunday explained that this is because the special region of Yogyakarta does not hold direct gubernatorial elections. According to Act No. 13 of 2012, the region has special regulations that its governor and deputy governor are not elected through a general election, but through an inauguration process. The governor and vice governor are directly presided by the Sultans of Yogyakarta and Duke of Pakualaman. Meanwhile, 508 district cities will hold the mayoral or regional elections on the same date. However, administrative districts and cities in Jakarta do not have direct election. Indonesian Ambassador to Egypt Lutfi Rauf said that Indonesia is the second largest exporter of soap products to Egypt, with an export value of $4.53 million in 2023. As quoted by Antara News Agency on Sunday in a statement from the Indonesian Embassy in Cairo, Lutfi said this could provide opportunities to increase Indonesian soap export for the market segment in Egypt. Previously, in the meeting between the Indonesian Embassy in Cairo and representative of the Egyptian industry in Sadat City, Ambassador Lutfi said that with this performance, Indonesia captured 16.5% of the Egyptian soap market share. The Indonesian soap export value to Egypt in 2023 will increase almost 20 times compared to 2022, which is only $238,000. The Indonesian National Disaster Management Agency BNPB estimates that the delivery of social and humanitarian aid for civilians victims of the Palestinians and Sudanese conflicts will arrive in Cairo, Egypt and the port of Sudan, respectively, on Thursday. As reported by Antara on Monday, the agency head Soeharyanto in his statement said that Indonesia would dispatch two teams to Cairo and port of Sudan on Monday evening or Tuesday morning to coordinate with the authorities in Sudan and Egypt to prepare the Indonesian delegations to bring humanitarian aid to the Sudanese and Palestinians through the Egyptian government. Furthermore, on Wednesday, Indonesia will send two humanitarian aid delegations to Sudan and Egypt. Previously, the Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs received diplomatic notes from Egypt and Sudan on their request for humanitarian assistance for people facing conflicts and disease outbreaks. Let's move it on to the international news, where the Hamas-run health ministries in Gaza Strip, Palestine, said on Monday that the Israeli military had withdrawn tanks and vehicles from the complex housing the besieged territory's main hospitals, Al-Shifa, days after the launch of a major operation on the site. As reported by AFP, the ministry said dozens of bodies had been found on the complex, where eyewitnesses saw tanks and vehicles pulling out. However, the Israeli military did not immediately confirm any pullout. The Israeli army launched its operation on March 18, targeting Hamas militants it's accused of operating from the complex. However, Hamas has denied operating from Al-Shifa and other health facilities. With hundreds of thousands of Gazans displaced by war, hundreds had sought refuge at the Al-Shifa complex prior to the operation. South Korean President Yoon Suk-yeol on Monday slammed the cartel of medics who oppose sector's reforms, saying the government would not back down on plans that have triggered a month-long doctor strike. As reported by AFP, Seoul wants to increase medical school admissions by 2,000 starting next year, saying it is essential to combat shortage and create a fast-aging society. However, doctor says it will erode service quality. In a televised national address, Yoon claimed that the government has thoroughly reviewed relevant statistics and research and reviewed present and future medical situation before determining the number of admissions. He said that this increase even will not meet growing demand in areas outside Seoul. Yoon further said that if the doctors' community doesn't like the government's plan, they should present the government with a unified blueprint with clear scientific reason. French top diplomat said on Monday that Paris expects China to send clear messages to its close partner Russia over its war in Ukraine after meetings with his counterpart in Beijing. During meetings in Paris in February, Chinese Minister of Foreign Affairs Wang Yi told French President Emmanuel Macron that Beijing appreciated his country's independent stance, but Paris has also sought to press Beijing on its close ties with Moscow, with its foreign minister Stephane Séjourné saying it wanted China to send very clear messages to Russia over its war in Ukraine. As reported by AFP, Séjourné told press conference in Beijing that there will be no lasting peace if the peace talks is not negotiated with Ukrainians. He also said China could play a key role in ensuring respect for international law is maintained. Séjourné's visit is the second to China by a French foreign minister in less than 6 months, following a trip by his predecessors Catherine Colonna in November. Listener, now let's move on to commentary for today.
Here is today's commentary on humanitarian aid attacked. Gaza urgently needs ceasefire. I'm Dalot Pane. The delivery of aid in Gaza was thrown into chaos on Saturday after an Israeli attack. Paramedics from the Red Crescent reported that 5 people died in the attack. Meanwhile, hundreds of thousands of people in Gaza are currently in dire need of assistance after being bombarded by Israel for 6 months. 2 charity organizations have arranged to send aid by sea from Cyprus and set sail on Saturday. Organizers said the aid, which was repeatedly delayed due to bad weather, was carrying around 400 tons of supplies. Previously, The United Nations High Court had ordered Israel to allow the entry of aid. Meanwhile, the UN Security Council had also adopted a resolution demanding an immediate ceasefire. However, this was proven not to change anything in the field. Neither Israel nor Hamas could reach an agreement to a ceasefire in direct talks in Qatar. They are just blaming each other. Still, there seems to be a glimmer of hope, with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu on Friday giving the green light to a new round of talks, with negotiators expected to resume their talk this Monday. It cannot be denied that negotiations are difficult to carry out if both parties are still prioritizing their respective egos and ignoring the thousands of people who have become victims on this conflict. Discussions leading to a ceasefire should be put forward by all parties with the aim of achieving peace in Gaza. Their egos are no longer important when compared to the thousands of victims who have fallen and the humanitarian disaster caused by a prolonged war. A ceasefire supported by the release of hostages in accordance with UN resolutions could be an important point capable of saving millions of Palestinians' lives who are currently threatened not only by war but also by hunger. That was commentary.
Well, listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Let's begin today in history on April 1st, when the commemoration of the World Bank Day occurred. World Bank Day is commemoration of the founding of the World Bank on April 1st, 1944 at the United Nations Monetary and Financial Conference. The conference, known as the Bretton Woods Conference was held to build a new international economic system after World War II. The conference resulted in the creation of two institutions, the International Monetary Fund IMF and the International Bank for Reconstruction and Development World Bank. Then, the World Bank officially started operating in June 1946. France was the first European country to obtain a loan from the World Bank. Then, in 1948, Chile became the first non-European country to receive a loan from the World Bank for hydroelectric power plants. Let's move on to the next event in 1946 when Tsunami April Mob in Hawaii claimed 165 lives. April 1st is also known as April Fool's Day. There is trust that on this day, people are allowed to lie or tell jokes to others without being considered guilty. However, the April Fool's Day traditions often makes people who commemorate it doubt the veracity of the news published on April 1st. The biggest April Fool's victims occurred on April 1st, 1946. At that time, there was a powerful earthquake on the Aleutian Island, Hawaii, which was followed by tsunami waves that swept across the Pacific region. A total of 165 people, 159 people in Hawaii and 6 people in Alaska, died as a result of the tsunami that occurred after the earthquake. As reported by Times Online on Tuesday, this disaster then prompted the establishment of the Pacific Tsunami Warning Center in 1949. The tsunami is known by local residents in Hawaii as the April Fool's Tsunami because many people died because they did not believe the news that the tsunami was coming. Residents thought the tsunami's warning issued was just an April Fool's joke. We close today in history with an event in 1996 about the Take Down Tobacco National Day of Action. Take Down Tobacco National Day of Action is an anti-smoking day for children and youth in the United States. The celebration was created to raise awareness of the problems of tobacco use among children and youth and encourage them, especially children, to remain tobacco-free. Not only that, this National Day of Action also aims to encourage efforts to pass anti-tobacco laws in America. On the Take Down Tobacco National Day of Action, teachers, children, youth leaders, and health workers will gather and organize various tobacco-related activities. Take Down Tobacco National Day of Action is organized by the Campaign for Tobacco-Free Kids and was first held in 1996.
Mempesonakan aku selalu.
Listeners, next we present you a program called My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia is on General Election Commission holds simultaneous regional elections 2024. The Indonesian General Election Commission will hold simultaneous regional head elections in 2024. Chairman of the Commission, Hashim Ashari, explained that the 2024 simultaneous regional elections will be participated in by 37 out of 38 provinces because the special region of Yogyakarta does not hold direct regional elections. This was conveyed by Hashim Ashari to the media crew in the stages of holding the 2024 simultaneous regional elections in Yogyakarta Sunday evening. Yogyakarta has special regulations that only a few other regions in Indonesia have. This is stated in Law No. 13 of 2012 concerning specialties of the special region of Yogyakarta. In this law, there are regulations regarding the appointment of the governor and deputy governor of Yogyakarta who are not elected through a general election but through an inauguration process. Then, of the 514 regencies and cities, only 508 will hold simultaneous regional elections. This is because there are 6 administrative regencies or cities in Jakarta that don't have direct regional elections. Apart from that, he also emphasized that voting for the 2024 simultaneous regional elections will be held on Wednesday, November the 27th, 2024. Hashim Ashari, in his speech, invited the election organizers to carry out their duties well during the regional election stages. He invited the Regional General Election Commission to work based on the laws and regulations relating to the implementation of regional head elections. He also reminded them to work guided by and adhere to the Code of Ethics for organizing elections. Apart from that, Hashim Ashari asked the Provincial and District City General Election Commission ranks to coordinate with regional governments in implementing simultaneous regional elections. He also directed regional commission officials to coordinate with legal authorities and related agencies such as the military, police, prosecutor's office, and courts. According to him, this coordination is necessary so that carrying out the task of organizing regional elections can work well. The counting of votes from the regional head election will be held from November 27th to December 16, 2024. That was My Indonesia Today.
Juga bersamanya. masih mencintainya.
Maafkanlah sayangku atas keadaan, kamu tak pernah jadi kekasihku. Wajahnya selalu terbayang saat kau di sisiku.
Aku dan kamu takkan tahu mengapa kita tak berpisah. Walau kita takkan pernah satu, biarlah aku menyimpan bayangmu dan biarkanlah semua menjadi kenangan yang terlukis di dalam hatiku. Meskipun
you're still listening to the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Now we present Indonesian wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Mm-hmm.
Dear listeners, today's edition of Indonesian Wonder will talk about Ponco Kentang ritual in East Java. Stay tuned. Listeners, Sumber Brantas Village, Bumi Aji District, Badu City, Malang, East Java, is known as the best potato producer in East Java. Potato productions from this village is the second best in Indonesia. Potatoes in Sumber Brantas Village are known as skyline potatoes because this potato field is at the foot of Mount Arjuna and Welirang. The potatoes produced are quite large in size and taste delicious. As the best potato producing village, the lives of the people of Sumber Brantas Village are not far from the activity of planting potatoes. They even have traditional rituals before potatoes are planted. This ritual is known as Ponco Kentang. Ponco is a Javanese term which means planting. Thus, Ponco Kentang is a ritual which is carried out just before planting potatoes. The ritual which is carried out in the middle of the field is usually carried out to start the potato planting season. Ponco Kentang is held to offer prayers so that the potato plants would be safe from all plants disease. During the ritual, farmers provided a number of types of wood, complete with wungkul ingkung or whole roasted free-range chicken. As time progressed, some farmers carried out this ritual in their homes. However, some others still maintain old custom, continuing to carry out rituals in the field. Before the potato ponco ritual began, prayers were chanted in Javanese by the elders of Sumber Brantas village. After saying a prayer together, ponco kentang process began. Elders and the people of the village put 16 potato seeds into the ground. 16 potato seeds is not just a number. This number has apparently been determined from the Javanese calendar, where the day for planting potatoes falls on Saturday pond. In this ritual, people must pay attention to the Javanese calendar. After planting the 16 potato seeds, farmers are free to plant their field. Listeners, that's Indonesian Wonder for today. Bye-bye.
Cinta, oh inikah cinta, tak terlalu. sana. Ho, ho. Cinta pada jumpa pertama.
Inikah rasanya cinta, oh inikah cinta.
Terasa bahagia saat jumpa.
VOI listeners, next program we have Let's Speak Indonesian, in which we introduce you to some Indonesian vocabulary and expressions, and we invite you to speak Indonesian language. This program is cooperation between Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Education, Culture, Research, and Technology.
Hello, welcome back to Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, introducing you Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to speak in Indonesian language. Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development Agency of Indonesian Ministry of Education, Culture, Research, and Technology. Today's topic is Titik Nol Nusantara. Titik Nol Nusantara, which means Nusantara 0.0. You will listen to a monologue about melewati bukit dan hutan raya. Melewati bukit dan hutan raya, which means passing hills and great forest. The conversation is between Chris, a vlogger from Australia, on his trip in Palangkaraya, Central Kalimantan. Chris was making a travel vlog on a motorcycle from Balikpapan to the point zero of Nusantara capital city in North Penajam Pasar Regency. Chris was describing the scenery he was passing. Let's listen to the monologue.
Saat ini, saya sedang dalam perjalanan dari kota Balikpapan ke Titik Nol Nusantara. Sebentar lagi, saya tiba di Titik Nol Nusantara. Saya melewati bukit dan hutan raya.
After listening to the conversation, I will introduce you to some vocabulary and expressions related to today's topic. Melewati bukit dan hutan raya. Melewati bukit dan hutan raya, which means passing hills and great forests. I will say it 2 times slowly, and please repeat after me. Saya. Saya, which means I. Melewati. Melewati, which means pass. Bukit. Bukit, which means hill. Hutan raya. Hutan raya, which means great forest. Saya melewati bukit dan hutan raya. Saya melewati bukit dan hutan raya, which means I pass hills and great forest. Sebentar lagi. Sebentar lagi, which means in a moment. Tiba. Tiba, which means arrive. Titik Nol Nusantara. Titik Nol Nusantara, which means Nusantara 0.0. Saya. Saya, which means I. Perjalanan. Perjalanan, which means Trip, Kota Balikpapan. Kota Balikpapan, which means Balikpapan City. In the monologue, you will listen the expression, saya melewati bukit dan hutan raya. Saya melewati bukit dan hutan raya, which means I pass hills and great forest. The phrase bukit dan hutan raya, bukit dan hutan raya, which means hills and great forest. The word bukit, bukit, which means hills or a highland. While hutan raya, hutan raya, which means great forest or a forest for research and recreational purposes. The phrase bukit dan hutan raya, bukit dan hutan raya, which means hills and great forest, was used by Chris to describe the objects in the landscape he saw on his trip from Balikpapan to Nusantara Point Zero. Here are other examples. Let's listen to some other example of describing environment. Sungai, sungai, which means river. Chris menyusuri sungai dengan kelotok. Chris menyusuri sungai dengan kelotok, which means Chris passes through a river on boat. Sawah, sawah, which means field. Petani memanen padi di sawah. Petani memanen padi di sawah, which means farmers harvest their rice in the field. For your information, to reach Nusantara from Balikpapan, visitors will pass through the Suharto Hills Great Forest Park. The 61,000 hectares Great Forest Park in Kota Kartanegara Regency and North Penajam Pasar Regency. The spot was named Suharto Hills after it was inaugurated as a natural tourism park area in 1991 during the era of the second Indonesian president, Suharto. Before we end today's Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, let's have another go with the monologue.
Saat ini, saya sedang dalam perjalanan dari kota Balikpapan ke titik nol Nusantara. Sebentar lagi, saya tiba di titik nol Nusantara. Saya melewati bukit dan hutan raya.
Listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today about saya melewati bukit dan hutan raya. Saya melewati bukit dan hutan raya, which means I pass hills and great forest. We hope today's edition will be useful for you who want to know more about Indonesian language. Sampai jumpa.
Sekedar penghibur diriku ini sayang, bukan pula sekedar pelepas rindumu, oh sayang, sakit hatiku kau buat begitu. Kau datang dan pergi sesuka hati.
hatimu. Oh, kejamnya di kau, teganya di kau padaku. Kau pergi dan datang sesuka hatimu. Oh, sakitnya hati, bencinya hati padamu. Sakitnya hati ini, namun aku rindu. Bencinya hati ini, tapi aku rindu. Bukan hanya sekedar penghibur diriku ini, sayang. Bukan pula sekedar pelepas rindumu, oh sayang, sakit hatiku. Kau buat begitu. Kau datang dan pergi sesuka hatimu. Oh, kejamnya di kau, teganya di kau padaku. Kau pergi dan datang sesuka hatimu. Oh, sakitnya hati, bencinya hati padamu. Sakitnya hati ini, namun aku rindu. Bencinya hati ini, tapi aku rindu. Sakitnya hati ini, namun aku rindu, rindu. Bencinya hati ini, tapi aku rindu.
You're still tuned to Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, only on voinews.id, RRI Play Go mobile app, and shortwave frequency 3325 or 4750 kHz. The next segment is Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
VOI listener, today's music corner, I'm going to present a keroncong song entitled Keroncong Company by Benyamin Sueb. The Betawi or native Jakarta maestro Benyamin Sueb is a versatile artist who has been blessed with extraordinary intelligence, including creating and composing lyrics for songs in various regional and even foreign languages. The song which he created is proof of his linguistic intelligence. The songs which were sung in the 60s to 70s included Pechok language, namely Dutch with a fluent Dutch Indies dialect. It becomes even more unique when Benyamin Sueb combines Pechok language song lyrics with Betawi dialect Malay language. This song is in rhyme format, which rhymes A-B-A-B between the contents into different languages. Even so, this song becomes a structure of sentences that unite and complement each other to form a story. The song Keroncong Company wants to raise the issue of the Dutch colonists exploiting Indonesia's natural wealth wrapped in allusions and Betawi rhymes typically Benyamin. Well, listener, here is Benyamin Sueb with the song Keroncong Company. Enjoy.
Si de man schreef door de bomen, putih-putih kembang melati, van ver ben ik hier gekomen, buat melihat si jantung hati. Vlieg masin kapal udara, stomwals si mesin giling, mendusin dengar suara dia menangis pelukin guling. Ooh, 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 ooh. Waterloopland tanahnya rendah, waterleading airnya dingin, biar kata lo jadi janda, tapi ego
of Indonesia.
Come kau berikan. Kau datang mengisi hidupku.
Shake your body, body.
Listener, wherever you are, that's our programs on the English program from Voice of Indonesia. If you have any comments, suggestion, criticism, any feedback for Voice of Indonesia, just drop us a line through our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, Instagram at VOI_official. Don't forget to follow us on TikTok at VOI_official and YouTube channel VOI Official. I'm Rahma signing out. I'll see you in the next interesting edition of the English program from Voice of Indonesia. From Indonesia to the world.